Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast about children's development from the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm here again today with a longtime friend and colleague, Corey Woosley, who has been working in the field of early childhood, really with a strong emphasis and foundation on inclusion for her long career. She's a professor at Minneapolis College in their early childhood department and does a lot of work training future teachers and educators. She's also a parent of a child with special needs. And today, Corey and I have the great fortune to talk about friendships and the building of friendships and the supporting of friendships with children with special needs in your early childhood setting. So welcome, Corey.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you today, Priscilla, and have a conversation about this great topic. And just as I was looking at the topic, I think so many of the things we chat about extend not just to children with disabilities, but also to children in general that need support with friends. Being a friend can be hard work.
That is very true. And especially during these early years, we know that these are critical practice years for kids. And as we think about two children who are coming out of the pandemic, who have spent their entire lives having different pathways than would be typical to other generations of kids, I think that all those factors really emphasize it to us as educators. We've got to do some support work. It's not just magical, and it doesn't just happen naturally.
Yeah. And this is where I think that the education and professional development that we do around children in early childhood is so critical. We really take the time as educators here. I'm doing a little prop for my program, I guess, here.
Right, exactly. You should.
As we take the time to really teach people how children make friends and what the stages are. And I did focus on that in the self-study too, because it, like you said, it's not magic. It's not a magic bullet. And for some children, it's hard. For children with special needs, it can be really hard.
Exactly. So let's think about do you want to just jump into the benefits for friendship for all of us? We could start with children. Yeah. We could start with children with special needs. And then, I mean, adults as well.
Yeah. So why do children with disabilities need friends? Well, why not? I guess that's kind of my first thing. And it seems like an interesting way to start is why do they need friends? But why do we need friends? What is so important about social connection? And for everyone, it's about bettering your health. It's about celebrations. It's about not being isolated. It's having somebody to share with. And we don't think about some of those terms with little ones, but it happens. There's lower stress. There's a sense of purpose of having a friend. You know, I'll just, because I love to talk about my grandkids.
Anyway,
just talk about my 3-year-old granddaughter, and she is so excited to go see her friends every day. And that didn't happen when she was one. When she started to recognize them. But then as she, you know, got into the toddler room, holy cow, there's those same people. And then by the time they're 3, holy cow, they're at my house now.
Right.
Seeing them after childcare. So, you know, those bonds that are created happen with stages of development. And all children go through these stages of development. While they may go through them differently and look a little different, they're going to go through these stages to create friends and build healthy relationships. So that's why it's important, because in the end, it benefits us as adults. And, you know, if we don't go through those stages, we're not going to have as healthy relationships as we might when we're older. And those are what sustain us. And I think that's probably the biggest benefit. Friendship sustains us.
That is for sure. And I think too, folks thinking about, I just remember hearing this very early in my career, that really it can be just one friend. It doesn't have to be a whole group. It can just be one good friend that you can count on, that you can share with, that you feel connection to. And friendship looks different for every human being. Mm-hmm. But as you said, it's about the connectedness, the social emotional connectedness that builds that foundation for our whole lives and relationships.
I think of a couple things that you actually told me many years. Well, one you told me many years ago was about what if my child likes to play alone? And I think you sent me an article on that. Mm. And because families and parents and we want our children to be a friend. We want our children to have relationships. But as you say, not every relationship looks the same and not everybody needs a group. I'm a huge fan, as you know, of the Clifton Strength Finders. And one of my strengths is an includer. I want everybody and their sister in the room. My husband, on the other hand, is a relater. He wants one close relationship, and that's what's important to him. And that happens with children too.
Yeah.
They, you know, shoving them in a big group, if they don't want to be in a big group, isn't going to work.
Right. And what do we do every day, all day in childcare? We expect that, oh, of course, everyone's going to be perfectly content with being in a group of all these other toddlers for all of these hours of the day, and not necessarily so. And so then, you know, as you were talking about your granddaughter's little stages of development in noticing and being aware and then making that connection of, oh, these are my people. I'm excited to see them. Mm-hmm. There's different personalities, there's different needs within all of the kids in our groups. And that's the challenge. We talk about the challenge of being an early childhood educator. It's not an easy job because you have to take all of these things into consideration every day and meet those individual needs and also set up a situation and a learning experience that's going to naturally allow people to, those kids to find their niche. It's a lot of orchestration and, you know, being the producer of this setting that's going to cultivate great foundational skills, which is a lot of pressure.
Yes, it is. It is. And I taught a class at the college. I love teaching this class. I just wrote it this year. It was creative environments. So I rewrote the whole thing, but it was an elective so people could pick it. And so we kind of went crazy with it, but so much of it was on the environment. And in early childhood, the environment is about social and emotional development. You know, that's kind of the crux of everything. So we were talking throughout the course about how we can be creative, but always with this focus of social and emotional development, which really came into that friendship piece. How are we going to have relationships within our own classroom? Well, the students were amazing in coming up things, but we talked exactly about what you and I are chatting about is how do you make this environment for the introvert? How do you make this environment for the extrovert? Sometimes I think childcare is hard for an introvert unless you have intentionality about how you're planning it and how you're going to create that friendship for that child that doesn't want a big group.
Yeah. And for the child who might have a special need, some sort of disability that is creating some challenges with their communication skills, because that's essential in building relationships is how do you communicate? And so if that child has delays in that area, which may be the case in their early childhood years, and we often are the first ones to be noticing these delays too, how are we setting them up for opportunities to connect when they can't use the typical pathways?
Right. And that's where, when you look at these stages of development, you have to tune in to that individuality of the group. One of the things that I put in the self-study is I'm a huge fan of the social skills and core skills of Bruce Perry. You know, his third skill is affiliation, which is really that understanding how to be a part of a group. So if you think about that and, you know, and I just in the story on my granddaughter, you could see affiliation really taking place. But now imagine doing that when you have a child that has a physical disability. How are you making sure that that child is affiliated too, and that that child is able to have a relationship, or a child that may have autism or may have temper tantrums that are, or a louder voice or a voice that is uncomfortable. How are you creating an environment for that type of a friendship? Because a lot of that friendship piece is kind of, we have to deliver that for the child. We yes. have to support that, or orchestrate it, is your word. So a lot of that happens by what we're doing in the program. We really can be a maker and a break. No pressure here, folks, but
yeah, exactly.
You can make and break this kid's life.
I mean, and when you think about, and that's what's, it's fun to hear you talk about the students being super creative and thinking this through. Mm-hmm. And I think about the educators that we support in our coaching, and the story that one of our coaches shared recently was a child who did have a diagnosis of autism and was really excited about the chasing game. And there was also some sensory needs going on. And so the chasing game turned into, you catch the person and then you get this great proprioceptive input by pushing them as hard as you can. Well, you know, that's not a great way to cultivate a good friendship.
No.
So our coach was able to think with the educator in that classroom and to say, okay, so we're seeing a lot of positives. This child's showing interest in their peers. Mm-hmm. They're excited. They're laughing. They're connecting. Everybody's happy for a while. And yeah. then how can we change just the end outcome? Mm-hmm. And so they worked on doing high fives instead.
Yeah.
And so the child was still able to get that proprioceptive input from their peer, but in a way that was more socially acceptable and mm-hmm. positive. And just that little tweak created that connection, so that the child who, and this child wasn't one of those kids that wanted to be in a big group all day,
yeah.
but certain parts of the day, that need for connection was really important. And this was how he was seeking that out. And mm-hmm. so we, as the adults in the room, are able to say, oh, I'm seeing that, but how can I create that whole situation to be a little more positive?
Yeah. And taking that even a step further and thinking about the friendship aspect of it too,
yeah.
think about that child that came up with that idea or helped come up with that high five, and how yeah. they feel empowered. And now the child that's high-fiving, and maybe in the end, a couple of them have this connection, and they
yeah.
take that to another game or another
yeah.
area of the room, or we're going to high five when we get the Legos picked up. And,
yep.
you know, that's our bond. That's just me and you, the high fivers of the classroom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it does help create and build just a little bit of extension, a little bit of, I'm trying to think of the word, but, just a piece that belongs only to us.
Yes. Yes. And it creates that special, I mean, that's what friendship really is, mm-hmm. that awareness that this person gets me and they still like me every day when I show up, which we know in preschool. I mean, how many times have we been uninvited or invited to someone's birthday party? And we
yeah.
hear that often. But
yeah.
I do think that as we're really stressing this in our conversation, Corey, is that it is our job as the adults to
yes.
help kids mm-hmm. navigate this. It really is.
It is. It is both within the environment, which is so critical, and within understanding and knowing the children,
yeah.
knowing the disability.
Right.
You know what? Some disabilities certainly have more trouble or behaviors that are affected by social emotional communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some have other ones, whether it's physical or mm-hmm. you know. So understanding what you're going to do with that. That behavior
right.
too.
Right. And in those situations, sometimes if there are big behaviors and big emotions, their peers might be frightened and scared
mm-hmm.
because something may have
mm-hmm.
happened. And so really, once again, we need to step in and rebuild some positive connection. So highlighting some of the characteristics that that child might bring to the group. And I remember when I was teaching, there was a little guy in our group who was he really wasn't doing a lot of talking with his peers. He had a hard time communicating, and he had some words, but they were hard to understand. But the kids figured out that this little guy knew how to whistle, and he knew how to
yeah.
whistle really well.
Yeah.
So anytime there was an opportunity to, you know, highlight that, all of the group would say, oh, he knows how to whistle. Remember,
mm-hmm.
he can do that. And it was just his identity, and he was seen, and he mattered to those other kids. And they didn't see him as someone who was less than or couldn't keep up. They saw him as an important part in the group mm-hmm. because a lot of them couldn't whistle.
Whistling, I can't whistle, and I'm 64.
Really hard, especially when you're, you know, 5 or 4.
Or 60.
Yeah, or 60, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit, Corey, about how do we support families in this process? Because sometimes families, I think, have that stress of, I just want my child to have friends, and why aren't they having friends, and how are they going to have friends? But giving them the tools to support the friendship growth, how can we do that as professionals?
So I guess I would start by saying, you know, understanding the family's needs, understanding what they have the capacity for in terms of outside of childcare, because many and most of the friendships are going to happen within the early childhood environment for children that come to care. Yeah. But what do you have in terms of resources for families? How are you supporting them? One thing I really want to emphasize here, and it makes me think back to the sibling discussion we had a while ago, yeah. And don't set the play date up with your sibling or with the child and then invite the sibling, because number one, the sibling's uncomfortable. Number two, they may connect in a completely different way.
Exactly.
Or third possibility, the sibling hits it off and then they
exactly.
have a new
friend. I know.
And I did that. So I call myself on that one. You know, how can you support the family with resources, which I did include a lot of resources in the self-study, but also just tips about what's going on in your community. What do they have? Don't always focus on the events just for people with disabilities. Think about other things. Maybe it's the park. And then one of the things I like to think about, even with children that struggle with play skills, is how are we entering that circle of play? How are you helping your child to enter the circle of play and being at the park and, you know, sitting down with the kids by the sand, or do you want to, I don't know if they still have seesaws, but maybe,
I don't think
that's lethal. Maybe you want to sit on the elephant toy with my child. He would love that, you know, and doing some role modeling of how to play, because how to play is hard. Maybe it was you that taught me that statement about never say go play. Cause
oh yeah, it wasn't me. I won't take credit for that, but it's a great statement. Yeah.
It is. Don't say go play, because what am I going to do?
We need to be a little more strategic about what we're doing.
Go play. That would put the fear of God in me. That's like, you need to pick the restaurant for Friday night.
Yeah.
There's 7 million restaurants.
There's too many choices. And that, I mean, and that goes back to that environment and setting up the environment in a way that's going to be conducive to some of these pairings. One of the things that we encourage a lot is play partnering. When, and that's really what you're talking about, is helping that child with the special need partner with someone in an activity that they're going to see success in. And it can be, because one of the things that I think happens in a lot of situations in early childhood is we may be caring for children who have some challenges and they may not have a diagnosis. We may not know, we may not have all the answers of how their brain is working and what that information going in is really, how things are tracking, but we know they're having a hard time. And so helping them find an activity, back to the kind of the high five, an activity that they can be successful at so that they can feel the way it feels to be successful in a relationship. Because if you never get to feel that feeling, how in the world can you replicate it? How can you get any practice? So we have to set kids up for success and say, we're going to partner you guys, you know, right now for these 15 minutes, we're going to all have play partners and you're going to work on this. You're going to work on this. You're going to work on this. And so we're setting up that child who might be in a wheelchair, who during free play has limited choices. We're going to bring a child who maybe chooses the things that this child in the wheelchair never gets to do because they're on a floor or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though they can get out of their wheelchair and be on the floor. That's another side note, but we're not going to get into that. But having them work at a table activity or play a game together that they typically wouldn't pair up, partnering people with each other who may not seek each other out, but we know with the direction of the activity and what we've chosen, they're going to see success. And we need to do that. We need to help parents understand that too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not having opportunities for friendships is probably one of the biggest barriers, and families are busy. And, you know, I think about taking children to sports or taking children to t-ball or taking children to karate or all the things I did too, and always having that child with special needs sitting on the sidelines.
Right.
So how can you make that different? Even if they're not going to be able to be in the sport or the activity, what are you doing in that time frame to
right.
support them?
Right.
You know, what
right.
special thing at the park? How can you initiate a friendship here? So there's a lot of things we can do that we would do for any child, but acceptance, empathy, understanding, creating the space is probably the thing you and I think we should really highlight out of this too, as an educator, create yeah. the space, know the children, what can happen in that calming corner too? What can
yeah.
happen in that quiet area? Don't always stick them with the book and say, go read your book to your friend, because
yeah.
that's boring after a while. I mean,
exactly.
So.
Well, and I think that something too that comes to mind is bullying, you know, and just
yes.
really, even though we don't necessarily use that terminology that much in early childhood, because we know that that's,
right.
it's kind of a very more advanced mm-hmm. than what
yes.
a young child could choose to do. But we're seeing things earlier and earlier in young mm-hmm. children these days too. So
yeah.
what about that in building friendships and navigating?
Yeah. And that's certainly something that families are afraid of, because difference
right.
often creates bullying.
Yeah.
And like you said, I don't think we don't see it in early childhood. Well, we maybe see it, but we don't, and recognize it or name it. But it's something that families need to think about as their child gets older. And so I guess one of the biggest things you can do is prepare your child to get used to being in situations. If they're not in childcare, be around other children. Introduce these play skills, help them, role model. Communication is a huge, like you said, some children don't communicate. So how do they communicate, and how are they going to communicate with other friends?
Right. Yeah. And what, back to the educator, one more, you know, not to put it all on us again,
yeah.
but it's our job.
It's my job is to put it all on us. So,
yeah, right. Well, and we have to set the stage. And so if there is bullying, that really calls us out as that adult who's guiding and supporting that experience and that environment. What do I need to be doing differently to make sure that everyone is seen as important and as a key part of the group? Mm-hmm. And, that is easier for us to do because we're the grownups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is why we role model, which is why we
yep.
role model social skills. We talk about social skills. We include social and emotional development in everything we do. That's always our underlying. I just to throw in my piece on ABC's 1-2-3s. How about just social and emotional?
Yeah,
you can do
exactly.
the other stuff in there, but that's what's going to build healthy relationships for all children later
right.
in life.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Corey, this has been such a great conversation. I'm excited because Corey has written a self-study for us on this, Positive Friendship Connections for Children with Special Needs, and that'll be available on our website with all of our other resources and self-studies. So thank you, Corey Woosley, for taking the time today, and I look forward to future conversations with you.
Yes. Yes. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Thanks, listeners. And if you want more resources, you can always go to inclusivechildcare.org, and you will find our resource library full of great topics on inclusion and many other things. So we look forward to future podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, visit us at inclusivechildcare.org.